every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary, and we're going to have a first in Major League Baseball coming up very soon. Jen Powell will be the first woman umpire in a regular season game in Major League history, and she's also going to be doing a three-game stint, and one of those games is going to be behind the plate.
Congratulations to her. I think this is great.
Congratulations to her. I hope she survives Instagram.
Stay off Twitter.
Oh, my. Yeah, let's just hope she has a good game. It's groundbreaking, and I wish her well. Shohei Ohtani collected his 1,000th career hit a few days ago, and that came by way of a home run. And is anybody really concerned about the Dodgers at this point? I mean, since July 4th, the Dodgers have a record of 10-17, and by the way, backed up by facts in metrics, they are last in Major League Baseball in on-base percentage, slugging percentage, strikeout percentage, batting average. And I think that it is time to be concerned.
It's panic time? Are we panicking?
You look at, they lost seven games in a row at the beginning of July. They lost them to two really good teams, Houston and Milwaukee. And Milwaukee currently is the best team in baseball. They are 70-44 as we speak. And if you remember, the Dodgers came back from the All-Star break and got swept at home by Milwaukee, too. So they are rolling along.
And the Dodgers right now, by the time you hear this, will be playing interleague play against another one of the hottest teams in baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays. And to put things in perspective, the Padres are only two games back of the Dodgers in the division right now.
Yeah, and I said, I think, on this last couple of shows that we had that, you know, I think the Padres have been disappointed. I don't think they've played very well, and yet they're within arm's reach. And I think they're going to probably play. They should be playing better. Whether they do or not, they made some trade deadline moves. So let's see how that works out. But
so, I mean, what are we going to see, like a players only meeting in the Dodger clubhouse? I mean, how do you get out of this funk?
I don't know. There doesn't seem to be any urgency the way I see it, you know, we'll see what happens. But Toronto is another team now that is finally living up to, I think, its expectations. It's just a matter of whether or not we'll see them follow that through. So anyway, the game is changing. We'll see what happens in the next couple of months. Well, I want to thank you so much for being here. We're going to have a very special guest joining us, Bobby Valentine, when we return.
Hey there, sports fans. Ron Say. Are you ready to score big with fresh, healthy eats? Well, our friends at Melissa's Produce have got you covered. Whether you're gearing up for the big game or just living that active lifestyle, Melissa's fresh produce delivers the winning nutrition you need. And here's the MVP move. Visit Melissa's.com today and use the promo code RONSAY to save 15% on your first order. Don't miss out on the home run deal. Fuel your passion for sports and good eats with Melissa's Produce. That's Melissa's.com, promo code RONSAY.
Hi, everyone. Gina Belich here with the Legal Help Center. And we have a special guest with us today, Super Bowl champ Vernon Davis. So, Vernon, tell all of our radio listeners who should call right now.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me join you here in the studio. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now and find out how much money you could potentially get.
Thanks, Vernon. You heard it, folks. If you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now and find out how much money you could potentially get. Call 800-745-9090. That's 800-745-9090. 800-745-9090. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free gift. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
This is baseball's Ron Say. Nowadays, it seems like nothing is built to last. Phones, appliances, cars, computers, but the new Michelin Defender 2 tire is designed to outlast. With a quiet and comfortable ride, you will have the confidence you need on the roads, whether they're wet or dry. So goodbye to the short-lived and hello to something that lasts. Get your set of Michelin Defender 2 tires at Hank's Tires, 19951 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. Call my buddy Steve Goldberg at 818-340-4200. That's 818-340-4200. Hank's Tires is also built to last. Hank opened Hank's Tires in 1953, and we are the oldest tire and auto repair shop in the San Fernando Valley with 100% customer satisfaction. Hank's is AAA approved for all of your auto repair needs. Call Hank's Tires at 818-340-4200 and tell them Ron Say sent you.
They still call me the Penguin.
Okay, we are back with our special guest, Bobby Valentine. And Bobby will be receiving a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is a proud partner of We'll See About That. Please use my VIP code RONSAY when checking out at melissas.com. Well, 56 years ago, Bobby Valentine and I ran into each other at spring training. But to give you a little bit of an introduction, Bobby was from Stamford, Connecticut. He came out of Connecticut as the Connecticut High School Player of the Year in both football and baseball. And he had a Southern California football and baseball scholarship as well. And he also was picked by the Dodgers in the first round of the 1968 draft. He played for the Dodgers, Angels, Padres, Mets, Mariners, also had a long and successful managing career, and that took place in Texas, the New York Mets, the Chiba Lodi Marines, and the Boston Red Sox, which not a great topic to talk about. However, he is with us today. I am so pleased. We met 56 years ago in spring training. Bill Buckner and I got off the plane from being in school. We were 2 weeks late to spring training, and we ran into Bobby Valentine and Tom Pashorek, and we started riding bicycles from day one and became long-term fans. And, Bobby, it's so good to have you on here. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Ron, are you kidding? Pleasure to be with you. I wish we've spent more time together over the last few years because our lives kind of drifted apart, but good to be with you, Guam. Yeah, so those people out there who are listening, 2 weeks late, that wasn't because you were being delinquent. That's because I was Bill Buckner's roommate at college. We were still part of the full-time student brigade, right?
Right.
That were getting deferment so we didn't have to go to the Vietnam War.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, so we only got 2 weeks of spring training, I think, in that spring training, Ronnie, during that spring break from school. And then we were back to make sure that we're attending classes.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, you know, it was a very difficult period. You know, you were fortunate, as was I, to have options. You know, you had a baseball scholarship. You had an opportunity to start your career playing professionally. And, you know, a lot of kids did not. And, you know, the Vietnam War was the key, I think, to all of us understanding that, you know, in order for us to make this happen, we need to be protected and be in school and get your 1S and not a 1A, because if you weren't, you were going to go to boot camp and you're going to go AIT and then you're going to go to Vietnam, and that's not where you wanted to go.
Yeah, and, you know, I signed out of high school in 68 in the same draft that you were in, Ron, and they actually, the Dodgers actually had me sign a supplemental contract that said I would remain as a full-time student so that they wouldn't lose me to Vietnam for at least, you know, 2 years or more.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy in those days.
Oh, scary and, crazy.
And you were the guy, you know, you were Guam that we heard about. Bill Buckner and I were in rookie ball. You got signed the same year. You went to Bakersfield the first year, right?
We went to Tri-Cities. You guys went to Ogden. And
yes.
We had Joe Ferguson, myself, and Doyle Alexander. And, and you guys had the rest. And
yeah. That was quite the group, obviously, Ronnie. And as those years went on in the minor leagues, where you had to stay there too long, and I didn't stay there long enough, I think, when you look back on it now, because, I mean, by God, you're hitting 30 home runs and getting 100 RBIs in AAA for how many years before you got called to the big leagues?
Well, I had to do it twice, but I didn't hit 30 the second time around because I set a new Pacific Coast League record for walks in a season. So that was actually the touch-up that I felt like it was really good, even though I wasn't happy with the fact that I got sent back for another year. But, hey, Tom Pashore got sent back. You know, Davey Lopes got sent back. You know, Ferguson, Yeager, Von Joshua, Charlie Huff, Rick Roden, Doug Rao. All those guys were in Albuquerque, you know, for a second time after Spokane. And so, yeah, amazing. It really was. But, you know, it turned out the way that it did. You know, I don't think that you know, looking back on it, anything other than, you know, being, you know, disappointed in the moment. You know, we were fortunate. You know, when we got there, we were ready to play. We were seasoned. And I think it showed up. You know, our rookie year, 1973, you know, we won 95 games. And we were ahead in September. And, of course, we ran into the Big Red Machine down the stretch, and they got so hot and ended up beating us by 2.5 games. But it was a great learning process. You know, it set us up. And, you know, you had already moved on. You had gone over to the Angels, and then you sustained that horrible injury that you had that took your career away. But, you know, yeah, it was
They're great years, though. Great memories. Ronnie, you were so lucky to, I think lucky anyway, that you were in the minor leagues for those couple years at AAA, but you had Tommy as the manager. And then as you got to the big leagues, Tommy came along with you.
Well,
you guys were, right? I mean, you were winning those championships down there. You were hitting them over the fence, like you said. And, you know, we should mention to the fans out there that the walk that Ron mentioned that he led the league in was not quite as appreciated then as it is today. You know, until people started talking about getting on base and that's how you score, unless you touch them all with one swing, until that thought came in that it was okay to walk because you got a chance to score, and if you score, you win. You were underappreciated, I think, because of that with your baseball acumen.
Well, thank you. But, you know, when the metrics, you know, started to, you know, infiltrate baseball, which was probably, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, to the degree of which we're
taking
Mattingly
over.
Yeah.
They started taking over about 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Mattingly's managerial time when Tim Wallach, Eli, was one of his assistant coaches. And they started getting the metrics. And, of course, Friedman was feeding them the metrics back then in the beginning. And a lot of it was about defense as well, the shifts. And, you know, I'd asked him, you know, I said, you know, how's this stuff working out? Is it mandatory? He says, no, but it will be in some point in time. But he says, we get a lot of this now because it's, you know, real introductory. He says, but you ought to take a look at it. And I said, why so? I says, well, he says, you're more valuable in this era of baseball than you were in your own. And I said, how is that? And he says, just start taking a look at it. And so I did. And, you know, the very first year, you know, I said, well, I've got to give it a chance. You know, I'm old school, but, you know, we've got to see how this thing works out. And so when we got to September, you know, I started to pay a lot of attention to how this thing was actually fitting in. And one of the first things that I was disappointed with and had an issue with was the defensive shift, you know.
Yeah.
And nobody asked me exactly why. They just said, you know, I just, you know, it's off the charts. It's crazy. But, you know, and other people, old school guys, said basically the same kind of stuff. But where they lost me is that they had these defensive shifts, and most of the time it was for left-handed hitters. It didn't matter whether you hit at the top of the lineup, the middle of the lineup, or the end of the lineup. It didn't matter whether you were a starter, right-handed, left-handed, reliever, or closer. They all shifted in the same direction, and they lined up the same way. And I said, how is it possible that every single one of these hitters hits every single one of these pitchers the same way? It didn't make any sense to me. And, you know, today I think we've gotten come back full circle a little bit with having everyday lineups that, like we used to have, that now resemble everyday lineups, but in a different way. They stack all their top hitters at the top of the lineup. And so therefore it has changed a lot. And, you know, metrics is here to stay. You know that. It's, you know, they design the lineups and everything else the same way, which I want to get to and talk to you about that. But right now we've got to take a quick break from Bobby Valentine. We'll return with, we'll see about that right after we take this quick break. Stay with us.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Say. Okay, we're back with our special guest, Bobby Valentine. Bobby, you've got a very familiar-looking top on. Can you tell us a little bit about that jersey you're wearing?
Ron, 1970, I was supposed to I guess I was in spring training. So when you're in spring training, they make a uniform for you in case you get called up. I was on the 40-man roster, and in 1970, this was the uniform that was made for
me. There you go.
Can you see that?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Set A.
And it, you know, Guam, it was Valentine 42/3. So folks out there, there was a /3 when they made the uniform. And that was the length of your sleeve. It was either 3 inches, 4 inches, or 5 inches, huh?
Wow.
Yeah. Kind of interesting. Because I think I was a rookie this year. They made it a 3 because they felt it wasn't going to be around very long. But well, it's cool. I bought it on eBay, and they sold it as game used. Well, I never wore this unless you think we wore the – I don't think we wore them in spring training, right? We got measured in spring training, and then nobody would keep the uniforms in case we got called to the big leagues. Is that right?
It could be. It's a vague memory right now.
Yeah, me too.
But the what's interesting is, you know, the amount of memorabilia that these players have in today's game, you know, that they keep.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice to have had known that in our era, where we would have kept all our gloves and our shoes and our jerseys and everything that we – hats and everything? I mean, wow.
You'll love this. But one of the guys that we knew who never threw away a damn thing, I was just in one of his storage bins the other day.
Oh, my.
Because Tommy Lasorda
never
threw away a thing. He kept like bags from when he was a guest speaker at the Hilton Hotel. And they were giving away little treats at the end of the thing. And I found some. And saw some really cool photos of you and him during that era that I had never seen before. I'm sure you have seen them. But, you know, I'm trying to do a documentary on them. So I'm trying to get all this stuff before we all go away. And we can't actually try to relive who that guy was, because you were there with him, you know, in the minor leagues. And then as a coach in the major leagues, where he was still making like he was manager, and then as a manager in the major leagues, huh? So yeah. You saw Tommy Lasorda not only in kind of full circle, minor leagues coach and major league manager, but you saw his whole growth. You saw him grow as a manager and a coach and a person, and grow in magnitude and popularity and all that stuff, along with you guys. And you have, I'm sure you have a really unique perspective on that. And someday I'll get you in front of a mic and we'll do that show too. But I just wanted to mention that how lucky I think you were, rather than me. I think I was lucky too, and I count my blessings every day. But I wish I had played one day of baseball for Lasorda in the major leagues.
Yeah, well, it was quite an experience because, the very first time I ran into him, and then, you know, I played with him in winter ball, and then I had him as a minor league manager, and then I had him as a major league coach, and I had him as a manager. The one thing that was common throughout that entire period was I never saw him pull out his wallet.
Absolutely. And he made sure that he never paid for a thing, you know, they were dedicating the highway over by Fullerton on 5 in his name. They called it the Memorial Tommy Lasorda Highway. I told them they should go out and put a line through high and put freeway on it so that every time we went by, we could have a chuckle knowing what it meant. It was always free with Tommy, wasn't it?
Well, you know, yeah, if you were with him, like I said, you know, it was on the house. Somehow he managed to find his way. But, you know, the interesting thing, you know, you talk about your uniform, you know, and you had number 2. Tommy eventually had number 2. And you probably had the closest relationship of any player with Tommy that I know of, both Italian, and you guys were, you know, kind of wound together from the beginning. And
The beginning, Ron, you know, but during those days, during his heyday, during your heyday, You know, I was somewhere. I was in the American League. You know, I was in the minor leagues. I wasn't experiencing all those wonderful things that you were doing, and crazy things and good things and bad things and all that. But, you know, when you win an MVP in a World Series and your manager gives you that hug, you know that he was hugging you because he was happy for you. He was happy for him, too. Yeah. Let's not get anyone.
Oh, that, yeah. Right? There's no question.
But he was truly happy for you, wasn't he?
Well, you saw it from the beginning like I did, you know, and we were one of his guys, right? He had a group of his guys. And I think that the number one thing that I think he had in baseball is an eye for talent. I really do believe that above and beyond anything else. You know, he had a group of guys and he nurtured them. He took care of them. He worked with them. He threw batting practice. He hit you ground balls. He would do everything possible to give you an opportunity to be better. And he fought for you in those meetings, okay, which was really important back then, too.
Oh,
right?
Really?
And so,
important.
You know, I'm just very pleased to have been, you know, one of those guys.
Yep.
Because, you know, we were, you know, a little family, you know, of whatever that number of guys is. But you certainly were, and so was I. And it was certainly better to be there than not.
And now you get to go into the Legends Hall of Fame, Dodger Hall of Fame with him. I'm really happy that the Dodgers have finally come around to getting you into that very special club.
Well, thank you. I'm glad they did too. I didn't want it to be posthumously.
Bobby, did you?
Yeah, we are getting older, aren't we?
You guys are teenagers. But Bobby, did you take anything, either, you know, how you related to players, you know, personally, or anything tactically from Tommy in your tremendous and successful managing career in baseball?
Well, of course, because, you know, Tommy changed the paradigm. You know, Tommy was going to be the manager, as Sparky Anderson said when Tommy got the job. He doesn't think he's going to hug his players in the big leagues like he hugged him in the minor leagues, does he? Well, yes, he did. And he not only hugged us, but he knew our wives' names, our kids' names. He knew what high school we were from. He let us know that he cared, so that we could care what he knew. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And he changed that whole thing. Before that, I mean, I played for Walt Alston, God rest his soul, and what a wonderful career he had. But, you know, he called me Billy for 2 years.
Uh-oh.
And he didn't care that my name was Bobby when I would say it's Bobby, you know? And so what I took from Tommy was, yes, that idea that when Rafael Palmeiro's kid's being born, I go stop by the hospital to make sure that they're all doing okay, you know, and learn the players' names and cared about them truly. And the only thing I didn't take from Tommy is I kind of rooted for the underdog a little more than he did. As Penguin said, he had a keen eye for talent. And he would see the good ones. He'd latch on to them.
Yeah, he
and
would.
They would be part of his family, you know, mm-hmm. Where I kind of messed with the guy like Benny Agbayani, who no one wanted on their team so that he could be on my World Series team, et cetera, et cetera. So there was a lot to take from Tommy.
No question about it. Let's delve into your managing career. You know, you got started with the Texas Rangers and had a 5-year period with them. You went from there to the New York Mets, where I think you probably had your greatest success. Tell us a little bit about playing in New York and managing in New York.
Well, you know, the pressure is that outside distractions, which I often refer to it as. There's a lot of outside distractions. You know, just getting to the ballpark some days is a challenge. Right. And then when you get out of your car to get through the groups who are waiting for your autographs or putting a microphone in your face is a challenge. And when that stuff happens every day in a less friendly environment than Southern California. And I know Southern California is a sports oriented place, and they get the story and all that. But there's so much here. I think there's so many teams, so many stars, so many interviews that they don't run the story as long as they do in New York. You know, and when they get your teeth into to you there, it just doesn't go away. So it becomes a distraction. And it was challenging. I was glad I got to Texas when I was 35 years old, because my teammate with the Mets, who I let stay at my house in 1977, became a general manager. And he said, "Hell, I'm a general manager. Why don't you become a manager?" And I said, "Why not?" And went to Texas Rangers with Tom Grieve, who's one of the greatest guys that I've ever met, who's also a number one draft choice from New England with the old Washington Senators. So we had a little bit of a bond because neither of us played all that well in our careers, but we were from New England. And we loved the game, and we stayed in the game a long time. So I learned to sharpen my teeth, as Tommy would say, in Texas, went to New York. So it wasn't quite as bad when I got to New York, or quite as tough. But, Ron, the day that I got called to drive to New York during the season in 1997, I was managing AAA in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. I get the call from the general managers. He said, "Don't fly to New York. Rent a car and drive, because they'll be checking to see if you're on any of these flights coming in and meet you at the airport." So I had to drive 4 hours from Pawtucket, Rhode Island, down to New York for my press conference. And I was listening to the sports radio on the way down. I took my AAA pitching coach with me, Bob Apodaca. I was going to announce him as my pitching coach. And the fan radio was speculating on who might get the job. And when they said, "And then there's a chance that the AAA manager, Bobby Valentine, gets it. And we hear that he might bring this guy, Apodaca, who never got anybody out in the big leagues, as his pitching coach." It went on and on with the people calling in. Yeah, let's not get those two stiffs. Finally, I had to turn off the radio for the last 2 hours of the drive to the press conference. So, yeah, it was interesting, to say the least.
All right, we're going to be right back with that press conference right after this.
The John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul, all in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
If you didn't think skipping breakfast was a big deal, you'd be right. Before. But now, Wendy's has Buck Biscuits. We're talking sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, or even the Honey Buddy Chicken Biscuit. For just a buck each. Seriously, you can get all three if you want. They're just a buck. So you'll never skip breakfast again. If you're smart. Breakfast for a buck? Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Limit 5 qualifying items per transaction. Not valid in the combo while supplies last.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Hi, it's me, Flo, here to tell you that with the Progressive Home and Auto Bundle, you get 24/7 protection, so you're covered no matter where the day takes you.
Even I added too much water to the pizza dough day?
Yep.
How about getting a call from my daughter to pick her up at the airport because her boyfriend is unreliable day?
Especially that day.
What about finding out that one of my pipes suddenly burst in my basement day?
Progressive has every day covered 24/7 with a Home and Auto Bundle. Also, you have a lot of bad days.
Oh no, that was all the same day.
At least you're covered with Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores.
American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
The fans are rooting.
And we are back. We'll see about that with the legend, the champion, the world, the MVP, Ron Say. I am Mike Gary, and this week in Dodger history, 1981, the players approve a split-season format necessitated by the seven-week strike. The Yankees, A's, Phillies, and the Dodgers are declared the first half champions, automatically qualifying for the divisional series, and will face the second half leaders, respectively, the Brewers, Royals, Expos, and Astros in the playoffs.
Boy, I do remember that, and that was a long wait, but we're so happy with the results of that. We got to be the first half champions. We wanted to be in first place because we did not know what was going to be happening with the negotiations, and sure enough, we were rewarded and got to take our time when we came back, and it prepped us for getting into the World Series and winning the World Series, so... Very good with that. Bobby Valentine did become the manager of the New York Mets in that press conference. And he was also a part of the Subway Series. Tell us about the Subway Series.
Well, you know, Ronnie, I was also opening my first restaurant in Stamford, Connecticut. And I was a minor league instructor for the San Diego Padres when I was rooting for your ass and all those games in New York and on television, watching you guys in that World Series and win that World Series. It was spectacular. But, you know, you have press conferences. The press conferences in New York are a big deal. I had one when my general managers decided to fire three of my coaches in 1999 without consulting me. It was after playing two games against the Yankees in the Subway Series interleague style in 99. And so we're at Yankee Stadium. It's Sunday morning. Three of my coaches get fired, and I'm on a stage with my general manager and one of these talk show hosts doing the pregame press conference on why I didn't leave and show loyalty to my coaches when they got fired.
Uh-oh.
Those kind of questions,
oh,
you know what
God.
I mean? And I was just madder than hell. I was sitting here with my legs crossed and my arms crossed. I didn't want to say a damn thing. I let the general manager say why he fired the guys. One of them was Bob Apodaca, who I just mentioned, you know, why he did it and all this bull. Finally, I get off and I'm kind of pouting going off the stage. And one of the reporters says, hey, there's 55 games before September 1st. What are you going to do to turn the team around? We had just lost seven in a row, the last two to the Yankees.
Uh-oh.
Things weren't going that well. We fell out of first place and we were in second place. And I looked at the reporter and I said, we'll go 40 and 15 if there's 55 until then. And he said, yeah, what if you don't? How about that? As I'm walking off the stage, he goes, what if you don't? And I turned and I said, I'll quit.
Uh-oh.
Huh?
Yeah.
And so that was a press conference. It's a press conference. And you could Google that stuff out there, folks. Because I said I'll quit, and after 54 games, we were, what do you think?
40 and 14?
39 and 15.
Okay.
I needed a win to go 40 and 15. And before the game, the writer peeks his head in my office right before I'm ready to go out there. He wasn't supposed to be in the locker room. You know how they close off the locker rooms, Ronnie? You know, before a game to the press? Well, I'm ready to leave my office. He opens the door and he looks in and he says, I hope tonight's the last game you get to manage.
Uh-oh.
Meaning he was hoping I was going to lose.
Oh, no.
So I would have to quit.
That's not nice.
Because I said I would quit.
Yeah, well, you know.
And we won and we went 40 and 15 and you can look that up.
You know, that's a great story. And regardless, if he couldn't have possibly wanted to hold you to that. I mean, you basically accomplished what you were going to do. But
I see the headlines the next day if we lost that game. Believe me.
You had an opportunity to go ahead and move on managing, and you went to Japan. And you were there for 5 years plus, weren't you? You went to
7 years, actually,
seven
total.
Years?
Yeah.
Tell us about managing Chiba and a little bit of that. And I also want to cover, if we can, we got there's a ton of stuff out here, but I want to get your version on today's game too. But go ahead and talk about your Japan experience.
Well, you know, it started in Vero Beach. The Tokyo Giants were there the year that I went to spring training with my leg in a cast. And after playing fraternity football, that was a smart thing. Anyway, I spent a lot of time with the Tokyo Giants for a couple weeks that they were there. And that led to me like being the first guy to wear a Japanese glove in the MLB. I wore a Mizuno glove in 1977.
Go.
Yeah, kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then a guy, you know, I was in the minor leagues after getting fired in Texas by George W. Bush. It was one of his good decisions. I was managing the minor leagues, and they sent the guy around looking at guys like Jimmy Lefebvre. You remember he was coaching third base maybe at the time or
first base
or something. But he was one of the guys who was being looked at and others. And at the end of the year of searching, he came back to my AAA team in Norfolk, Virginia, and he offered me the job to be the first ever non-Japanese manager with a full-time managerial job. And I said, whoa, I'll take it. And I went there and managed. I had a two-year contract this time in 95, and I had a two-year contract. But after 1 year, the Mets called me, the assistant general manager, and said, hey, if you could get out of your contract, Joe McElvain, the general manager, who I knew real well, wants to hire you. And so I said, I have a two-year contract, but it's the Mets, and I just left the Mets, and maybe I should do something. And anyway, I got out of my contract. I went back, and they changed their mind.
Oh, no.
And they offered me back the AAA contract that I had the year before for $60,000, and I walked away from $650,000 in Japan. Think about that for a smart move. And I couldn't complain. How the hell do you complain? You'll never get the job if you complain, say something to the press, say I don't want the AAA job. You know, then anyway, I took the AAA job, and during the season, they fired Dallas Green and did hire me when I was in Pawtucket, that car ride. Already mentioned. Yeah, so I went there. I came back. I managed 7 years with the Mets. I got fired by the Mets. I went to a restaurant in New York City with a buddy of mine. We're having dinner. I'm crying in my beer. A guy comes over to me and says, would you come back? And it was the owner of the Japanese team that I managed in Japan in 95, who is coincidentally having dinner in the same Four Seasons restaurant that we were having in New York City. And he asked me to come back, and I went back and managed another 6 years without a contract, just on a handshake, and had just a glorious time.
Well, you sure did, because you walked away with the 2005 Japanese Series champions and Asia Championship Series.
Yeah.
So well done.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that's terrific. You know, we got about 5 minutes left in this segment, and I did want to cover, you know, your thoughts about, you know, where MLB is today.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's a thriving business,
and
your thoughts on all the rule changes and everything else that's going on, and gambling, if you might. So it's all yours. Go where you want to go.
Well, it's long, Ronnie, but there has been a natural progression toward a new look on the field, and it hasn't been as slow as some people would like, but it has taken a hold. We now have a new vernacular in the game of baseball that has been taught by MLB in a very strategic way to fans who are out there, many of them new fans, younger fans, who wanted their own vernacular. But now people speak in baseball a certain way. If people talk about the game, they talk about it a certain way with the new vernacular. That was the beginning to actually change how the game would be played, I think. Mm-hmm. So that new things could be accepted. And I like most everything. I don't know why in God's name. I played for Bobby Winkles, the Arizona State college coach who came over and managed the California Angels in 1973.
Right.
In 73, Roddy, you're in the big leagues. You're there. This guy Winkles gets the job in Anaheim. People's heads are spinning. His only platform in 73 was, we need to speed up the game. Coming from the college game to the major league game, because there was some of that stuff going on. Yeah. You know, the human rain delay up in Cleveland when Mark Hargrove would step out of the box for and do his dance. And then, you know, and it went on and on. So we did need to take notice of people who are watching the game and speed it up. Well, that was 73. So finally, we got something done. I don't know why we couldn't just go to every player and said, hey, dude, none of that nonsense. You're not walking around the mound for 20 seconds and you can't step out of the box for 15 seconds. Otherwise, we'll call penalty, you know? And then we could have done it without a shot clock because no one wants to be penalized in the game. And, I think we could have taught base stealing better so that they didn't have to make bases bigger to give an advantage to base stealers. And I think, you know, the idea of throwing over three times, well, I think if you took a survey of baseball fans over the years, the one thing they got most disgruntled with was when the pitcher would throw over nine times and Ricky Henderson's getting up, dusting himself off nine different times and still stealing 100 bases. But people didn't like that, and so they limited it. Easy, no problem. I don't mind it. I don't mind the shot clock. I don't mind them talking about the game differently. My jury's still not back, Ronnie, on whether or not guys throughout the entire lineup should hit like you did, and you were a perfectly sabermetric hitter. You know, you swung at balls in your zone. You always took your best swing. If the guy made a good pitch and it wasn't in your zone, you would nod at him as you walked away. I remember sometimes you walking back to the dugout, kind of acknowledging that the guy made a pretty damn good pitch on you, you know, because that competition of yours was so personal, right? And if someone came into your no-fly zone, you usually shot that ball down and hit it really hard somewhere. You know, if the metric of the barrel, you know, folks, we do this, if you hit the ball in a sweet spot, comes off the bat at 90 miles an hour plus at a certain trajectory, it's called a barrel now. That's one of the new terms in baseball.
Right.
Ronnie would have been one of the lead leaders in barrels. Him, Julio Franco, Mike Piazza, these were guys – In my firsthand knowledge and watching closely, barreled it up in their days as well as anyone. You know, that metric would have fit really well into your life. The only thing that I have problem with the game today, really, two things. They're similar. I know we're running out of time. No. One is I always thought the coolest play in baseball was the shortstop and the second baseman doing their dance at second base, or that second baseman, third baseman, when you had to lead me on this side of the bag, right in front of the bag by those 9 inches with your very accurate throw, so I could touch the base, my left foot come off of my right foot, make that throw, get up in the air, get out of Don Baylor's way of breaking my legs, and it was a cool-looking play, you know? I have a problem that they don't have that anymore.
All right, we're going to hold you right there, Bobby. Yeah. We're going to be right back after this message. Stay with us.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30.
So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Okay, we are back. We'll see about that, and we're going to wrap things up with Bobby Valentine. And, Bobby, we left a lot on the table. We've got tons more to talk about. Would love to have you back later on in the season, maybe even postseason if you're good with that. But I want to thank you so much. It was great visiting with you again. The stories are great. Your insight to the game is wonderful, and once again, pleasure having you on, and look forward to having you back in a month or so.
Yeah, Bobby, we really appreciate it, and we just one last thing here. We got about 2 minutes to go. As someone that managed both the American in America and also in Japan, what do you think about Shohei Ohtani?
Oh, Shohei's not from Japan. He's from Mars. You know, he's out of this world. He's he's just different. You know, he's a genius. Okay. I really think in baseball, there's a lot of concert pianists, you know, and then there's a few Mozarts, there's a few who can play the piano at a concert level, but they write the music and direct it also. This guy is just different. Wakes up in the morning, does his routine, does it perfectly every day, is committed to being as good as he could possibly be. And this thing, pitching and hitting, he can do it. I don't think he likes pitching that much, but he can do it, and he's going to do it because he's getting paid to.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I remember in closing when you first told us all about Ichiro Suzuki, the best player coming out of Japan. He's the real deal, and you're not wrong about Ohtani either. So,
just real fast stat, too, because Ohtani had his 1,000th career hit the other night. About 980 games.
Yeah.
Ichiro got his 1,000th hit in MLB in 682 games, number two on the list.
Yeah. Well, they were both great additions to baseball in the United States for sure. Bobby, thank you again, and we will be talking with you again soon. Thanks so much.
Anytime. Pleasure, Ronnie.
All right, there you go. Guys. That's Bobby Valentine, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, and we're going to be thanking you for joining us. We'll see about that. See you next week, and hope you guys have a great weekend.